the Lord. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And welcome to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. This will be a service of lessons and carols. At the conclusion of the service, we will sing Silent Night by candlelight. Hopefully all of you have received a candle from our ushers as you have come in. And a few notes of instruction regarding the conclusion of our service, just to make sure we all are on the same page. At the appropriate time, our ushers will come forward, and they will light their candles off of the Christ candle and the Advent wreath, which is already lit, and then they'll proceed down the center aisle, lighting the candles at the head of each pew. And then everyone will light their candles from those at the head of their pew. And I do want to remind you that only tilt the unlit candles so that we do not cause any wax to drip out and burn your hand or drop on the floor. And then also ask that parents would use discretion and supervise your children. And also, we will be singing all four verses of Silent Night. Sylvia, our organist, will be playing music while the candles are being lit, and then we will sing the first verse together with the accompaniment of the organ, and then the final three verses of Silent Night we'll be singing a cappella, and then at the conclusion of singing all four verses of Silent Night, I will give the benediction. And then, while still in candlelight, we'll proceed out of the sanctuary. And then, once you're outside, you can extinguish your candle, and our ushers will have some bins for you to place them in. And also, before I begin, I wanted to note a change in our worship bulletin. Pastor John Keene is on vacation, and he was planning to be here tonight to lead the service. He called me later in the week and said that he was not feeling well. And so I am going to be leading the service in his place. I'll be giving a brief Christmas meditation, and our lector tonight is church member Matt McKenzie. And so I believe that's all the announcements we had. At this time, be sure to turn off any electronic devices. Put your mobile phones to vibrate or mute. And let's prepare our hearts to worship our great God who came down to this earth as a little baby. Let's listen to the prelude and prepare our hearts to worship. Following along in your bulletins, let's responsibly read our call to worship. It came upon a midnight clear. And when the fullness of time came forth, Mary gave birth to the Messiah. The little Lord Jesus had no crib for a bed. The God of the world was born in a stall. Yet this baby born in a manger will save us all. Would you pray with me? Father God, we give glory to you for the gift of your Son whom you sent to save us from our sins. And just as Jesus, our Savior, came at night when all was still, would you please enter our lives this night? Along with the shepherds, the magi, and people throughout history, may we come, adore, and worship Jesus, our promised King, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Please rise and let's join in singing hymn 196, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Thank you.
Our second passage is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Our next hymn is number 213, What Child Is This? Please rise. The third reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The next hymn is number 207, "Good Christian Men Rejoice." Let us stand, please. Final passage comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word.
Amen. Well, it was Friday morning, January 12th. It was in the middle of the morning rush, the Washington, D.C. Metro. And as over 1,000 people passed by, there was a young man in jeans and a baseball cap with a violin case. He opened up his case, he pulled out his violin, he threw a few dollars into the case as seed money, and then he began to play. He played for 43 minutes. He played six classical pieces. Beautiful, pure sound filled the Metro Plaza. An occasional passerby would drop a few coins into his violin case, but for the most part, the musician was ignored. In total, 1,097 people passed by that morning. Yet it was 6 minutes before the first person ever stopped to listen to the music. In total, only 7 people stopped at all. Most people didn't stop, rarely even turned a head to look. The violin case managed to conjure up a mere $38 in donations. And so who was this unrecognized musician? No one knew it, but he was one of the finest classical musicians in the world, playing some of the most elegant music ever written on one of the most valuable violins ever made. This unusual experiment was arranged by the Washington Post, and the musician's name was Josh Bell. Just 3 days before, he had filled Boston's Symphony Hall, where the average seat went for $100 each. Yet, at the Washington, D.C. Metro, in the middle of the hustle and bustle, this master musician had gone unrecognized and overwhelmingly ignored. You can read about this in the April 2007 issue of the Washington Post. You can Google it. You can even watch a YouTube video of the occurrence. Or our text tonight tells a similar story. It tells us that 2,000 years ago, the very creator of our universe took on flesh and bones, and he came down into this world. Yet he too was unrecognized and overwhelmingly ignored. I'll be reading briefly and sharing from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. And in John chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh, it states, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful night that we can remember the birth of our Savior Jesus. We thank you that we can gather here together as a body of believers, that we can worship you. And so we pray that you would send forth your Spirit with your word, that you would accomplish your purpose here tonight, that you would draw our hearts to yourself, that you would bring us to repentance, and that you would bring us to faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, through Scripture and song, we've been on a journey. We've heard and we've sung how Jesus has come in a most unusual way. The King of our universe did not come down to a prominent, a wealthy, or a powerful family, nor did he come down to a key, influential city with worldly pomp and circumstance. Instead, his arrival was humble and it was simple. He came to an ordinary teenage girl who was betrothed to a decent and honorable man named Joseph. He came down to a small, nearly no-name city, dwarfed by nearby Jerusalem. But most surprising and unexpected, he came as a baby, born in a dirty stable because there was no room for him in the inn. Aside from farm animals, the only other witnesses of this magnificent supernatural event are a few outcast shepherds who were out in the fields watching over their flocks. According to the Old Testament, the coming of the Messiah was expected. It was anticipated. It should not have been missed. Passages in Isaiah and the prophet Micah pointed ahead to the coming of a baby born in Bethlehem who would bring comfort to his people by doing that which his name literally means, by saving his people from their sins. Yet, that lonely, quiet night, he was largely missed. Many did not recognize nor receive Jesus. Both scripture and history show this to be true. And in the same way as the sophisticated and savvy businessmen and women on that day at the DC Metro didn't recognize the master musician who was playing some of the most beautiful music, the world whom God created did not recognize Jesus when he came either. And in fact, many who interacted with Jesus rejected him. But one thing our passage makes clear tonight, but not all. Not all rejected Jesus. And in the Washington Post story, there was a woman who recognized Josh Bell. Surprised to see him in such an unexpected and odd place, she stood there and she listened eagerly, joyfully to all the music that he played until he finally finished. Well, in verse 12 of John chapter 1, it tells us that there is great joy. There's great comfort. There is great hope to those who do not miss Jesus. It says, in sharp contrast to verses 10 and 11, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Scripture tells us that God created us to be in relationship with him, perfect relationship with him, and also in perfect relationship with one another. But the problem is that sin has come into the world. Sin has separated us from God. It has alienated us from one another. We lack the comfort that we were created to have. We suffer. We struggle with heartache and pain because sin is in the world and because we too are sinners. Scripture tells us that every single one of us falls short of the perfection that God requires of us. But Scripture also tells us that God will bring a Savior to His people. God Himself will send a deliverer who will come down into this world and pay for our sins. And in fact, the entire Old Testament points forward to the coming of the Savior. And the entire New Testament tells of this Savior that has already come. The message of Christmas is that this deliverer, this Savior, this Redeemer has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Emmanuel, which is God with us. Jesus is the true King. He is the Christ, which literally means the Anointed One. Therefore, Jesus is the one whom God authorized and empowered to carry out the work of accomplishing our salvation. In Him and nowhere else is salvation found. And John's Gospel tells us that those who receive Jesus, that those who believe He is the Christ who saves us from our sins, to these He gives the right to become children of God. And this statement, which is so easy to quickly read past and miss the implication that is there, this statement assumes that we are not the children, the spiritual children of God, by natural birth. It is only in Jesus that we receive a change in nature. It is only in Him that we are forgiven of our sins, that we are treated not as children of wrath, but as sons and as daughters of God. And so the tough question for all of us tonight is, which group are you in? And culturally, we celebrate Christmas. But among the festivities, the traditions, the presents, are you distracted? Are you missing Jesus? Are you among those who don't see Him? Or are you among those who have embraced Him as your Savior? Are you among those that have received Him and have thus become a son and daughter of God? And to those who have not yet received Jesus, tonight could be the moment of your salvation. How appropriate on Christmas Eve that you simply acknowledge your need for a Savior. And like the three kings we read about, come and worship at the feet of Jesus. And if you already are one who has received Jesus, take time to stop and listen to the beautiful song of our Savior. Worship intently, joyfully, eagerly, soaking up the comfort, the joy, and the hope that only Jesus can give. And for all of us, in the midst of the hustle and the bustle of the holiday season, don't miss Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You that You have made Yourself known to us. You are the one who took the initiative to come down here and to make a way of salvation. You were not obligated to do this. We didn't deserve it. Yet because of your love, that's what you did. You wanted to save us from our sin. So we thank you for our Savior Jesus. I pray that you would call our hearts to yourself, that we would worship you, and that we would come to you through the only means of salvation, which is our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this time I'd like to call our ushers forward, and we'll begin our candle lighting, and they will proceed down the center aisle, and like I already said, be sure that you tilt only the unlit candles. And as the candles are being lit, Sylvia, our organist, will be playing on the organ. And then once all the candles are lit, we will sing together the first verse of Silent Night with the accompaniment of the organ. And then the final three verses, we will sing a cappella. And then after the benediction, we'll proceed out of the sanctuary by the back doors in candlelight. So let's continue to worship our great God.
Wow. Jesus, Lord, at my birth. Jesus, Lord, at my birth.
Once again, Merry Christmas. What a wonderful evening. We do invite you to keep your candles lit as you proceed out of the sanctuary. You can extinguish them once you are outside. And then when your candles have cooled, our ushers have some bins that you can drop your candles in. And also as a brief announcement, any of you who had purchased poinsettias, you are free to come and pick up your plant and bring it home tonight if you wish, or you can pick it up on this coming Sunday. Receive the benediction. This Christmas may be filled with the wonder of Mary, with the obedience of Joseph, with the joy of the angels, with the eagerness of the shepherds, with the determination of the Magi, and with the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and bless you now and forevermore. Merry Christmas.